Please take your seat. Thank you. And our next Mayor Wilson to lead us in prayer.
Let us all bow our heads, please. O Heavenly Father, we come to you once again with bowed heads and humble hearts, thanking you for your grace and your mercy. Father, we know you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves, and with that we say thank you. Thank you for being that bridge over troubled waters. Thank you for being the peacemaker over our unsettled differences in this world, in this country, in our state, and in our local communities. Thank you for being that security blanket when sometimes we don't feel we have enough cover. But more importantly, Father, thank you for being our strength during our most challenging and tough times. We give a special thank you, Father, and we ask a special blessing for this meeting and the chaplains and all the ones that you have allowed to be assembled here today. But as you know, there are no strangers ever in our midst, just friends we have not yet met. We give you all the glory and the praises. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. I'd like to formally call the PTA Governing Board meeting to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Stephen Ayam. Mary Berger is excused. Joni Richmond.
Here.
Paulette Berwick.
Here.
Joel Morris.
Here.
Ann Gerwick. Stephen Grant.
Here.
Lynn Hubbard. Keith James.
Here.
Jim Koresky.
Here.
Maria Marino.
Here.
Shelley
Petrolino,
here. Fred
Pinto.
Here.
Jerry Rogers.
Andy Thompson in this place.
Paul O'Brien. Scott Singer.
Here.
Pammy Diolo.
Vice Mayor Andy Amoroso sitting in.
Tom Bodishley.
Here.
Catherine Waldron.
Here.
Steve Wilson.
Here.
Okay, thank you, and welcome to Andy Thompson, newly elected member of the Rotary Town Council. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. I need a motion to adopt the agenda for today, September 20th, 2018.
Second.
Motion by Marina, second by Roberta. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously. We need a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting, June 21st, 2018. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. Thank you. It's been a while since we've met. I think we've got a number of items that are packed up on the agenda. A lot of stuff is going on over the summer. While we didn't meet as a governing board, we did meet as a strategic planning committee and the transition, TPA transition committee, and Nick will be informing you of what's going on in those meetings. But any additional member comments before we get started?
Don't care. I was representing the TPA over at the MPOAC in August, where we're setting the legislative agenda for that organization. Tried to pass a motion not to approve tax on alternative fuel vehicles yet. I believe they said it's 1.5% of the total vehicles registered in Florida. And so I just want to make the
thank you for
agency
your
products to put up to look there.
Thank you, and thank you for representing us.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Sure. On behalf of Pam Triolo, our mayor, and the city of Lake Worth, I just want to welcome everyone to beautiful city of Lake Worth. You may have heard all female mayors were invited to Washington, to the White House. So our mayor is there. So in her behalf and the city of Lake Worth and our great city manager in the back, Michael Wilson, I welcome you to the city of Lake Worth.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rosa. Any additional member comments? Okay, yeah. Looks like a director's report.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Chair.
First, I'd like to introduce to the Governing Board, Nicholas Hernandez. Nicholas is our new pedestrian bicycle coordinator and lead planner with the PTA, who joins us from Texas. So we're glad to have him aboard. And also want to announce the promotion of Mr. Andrew Ewer to the Deputy Director of Program Development of the PTA. So we're really looking forward to their contributions and leadership to this agency. Next, I want to make sure that the full board is aware that next week is Braille Safety Week, that we would like you to join and ask your staff, especially your public involvement, public engagement staff, to join USDOT as well as Operation Lifesaver in observing September 23rd through 29th as the second annual National Rail Safety Week. This comes at exactly the right time for us as an agency because we just finished and implemented the continuous quiet zone on the FEC rail corridor from West Palm Beach South all the way to Broward County. We're the only portion at this point in time, the only portion of the FEC corridor that is in a quiet zone. And we're very glad to have that investment made in their safety improvements to allow the removal of the train horns. But we want to remind all of the members of our community to please behave responsibly when crossing the rail corridor. Next item, I want to make sure that we pay close attention to this. Next month, October 10th, is the 22nd annual Walk to School Day. And we are encouraging each of you, by the provision of a flyer on the dais, to identify a participating school in your local jurisdiction. We've got a flyer on the front side that reminds you of Walk to School Day is October 10th. On the back side is a list of schools that have identified as participants in this Walk to School Day event. I wanted to mention there are two in particular that are going to be focused schools. One, the school district is focusing on H.L. Johnson Elementary School, and they're going to be meeting at 7:15 that morning to do an organized walk to school event in North Palm Beach. And then second, in downtown, or near the downtown of West Palm Beach, as part of their Vision Zero efforts, the city is coordinating a walk to school event around Belvedere Elementary School. Not only am I encouraging you to participate in these kinds of events on October 10th, but we have also provided a new TPA safe walking t-shirt to all of you, so that when you do participate in these events, your visibility is high, you're able to be seen by the cars, you are able to promote the agency as well as the message of both our pedestrians and the vehicle occupants, or vehicle operators rather, paying attention to their surroundings, not paying attention to their devices, but paying attention to their surroundings so that they can see one another and navigate our environment, our transportation system safely. Next item on my agenda, the ADA Transition Plan Workshop. We are conducting an ADA Transition Plan Workshop to allow all of our local governments who may not have an ADA Transition Plan or may not have updated it recently to come and learn how to do that effectively and well. ADA transition plans are required for agencies to receive federal aid. It's a document that says we've identified which of our infrastructure, which pieces of our facilities are not ADA compliant, and we've identified a plan to fix those. So we're essentially going to help you create those documents if you don't already have them in place. So please make your staff aware of that opportunity. That's on October 11th, and that will be at the TPA's office. We sent out this week a request for Citizens Advisory Committee member nominations to each of the governing board members that have not yet nominated a Citizens Advisory Committee member, or if your nominee is near its completion, or if the nominee that you had previously got has recently resigned. So we're asking for Citizen Advisory Committee member nominations. We did send out a letter to those of you who need to make those nominations, who have the opportunity, rather, to make those nominations. And I just want the board to understand our bylaws say we can have one nomination per member, so no more than 21 members on the Citizens Advisory Committee. But we also have the bylaws that say we can have no less than 11. We have currently only had 11, so we would love to have each of you who have not yet nominated someone help us get above that minimum by making a nomination. Last item on my report is the TPA Strategic Plan and Budget does allow for up to two board members each year to attend a national transportation conference. We have created a website of transportation conferences around the country. that we want to make sure you take an opportunity to review, and then please let me know if one of those catches your attention. We have some folks who, you know, on our staff were in New Orleans earlier this week for the National Lost Bike Pro Conference, and that was a very good opportunity to see what that community is doing to invest in transportation facilities for non-motorized users. I'm actually going to be in, next week I'm going to be heading up to Nashville for the American Public Transit Association Conference, the AFTA Conference. But if, again, if there are any conferences, events that you see on our website, please let me know. We'd be happy to make arrangements. We would really want our governing board members to invest in the information available to you on what other parts of our country are doing with respect to transportation. So,
okay.
Again,
thank you. For the record, I'd like to note that Commissioners Abrams, Ryan, and Mayor McKinley have joined us. On the consent agenda, would any member like to pull any item from the consent agenda? I have one to pull, which is page 2. Any further desire to pull one?
I just have a question. I didn't know who chose or who chooses the board members for like TAC. Is that done through the city or is that done through the board member? For H6.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, Madam Mayor, the seat on the technical committee and on the bicycle trailway pedestrian committee is established by the governing board. So, the governing board says these entities will have the ability to nominate someone to sit in these different committees. And then, those entities, if by their own decision making process, tell us who they would like to appoint.
So who is the entity?
So in this case, well, it depends on each committee. So for example, on item 5.
That would be the TAC.
Well,
the
item 6, rather. So the TPA board has said we want the city of Delray Beach to be a member of our technical committee.
Gotcha.
The city then has to decide who they want to place as a representative of the city on that technical committee.
I guess my question is that who in the city makes that decision? Is it the city as a whole? Because I wasn't part of that. I just was curious.
I kind of thought that, but I guess my general answer is it's up to the city to decide. So through the city manager's office, whether they bring that to the board or whether they make that as an administrative decision.
Okay,
the individual city.
How sensitive is this issue to the commission or to the board right now? Is that something that can be taken off so that I can at least explore this further?
Okay, any further items to be pulled? Okay, I need a motion to adopt the consent agenda unless I'm still in it. Oh, Commissioner Broder.
I would just like staff with the amendment of the TPA board place the diversity makeup of these committees so that we can bring back the awareness as we are moving forward with appointing others.
That objection.
To provide a diversity makeup analysis of each of the committees.
We do that at the county. So probably a good practice. Okay, back to the consent agenda and a motion.
And
a
second.
Motion by Mayor Marino, second by Commissioner Broder. All in favor of the consent agenda, less items 10 and 6. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously. Item 2.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Briefly, on item 2, what we have put in the backup material was a resolution authorizing the chair to execute the subrecipient agreement with Long Beach County for transportation. What's happened since we published the agenda is we have been working with the county attorney's office as well as our legal counsel to make some very minor modifications to that agreement itself. The terms and conditions are substantially similar to what is in your packet, but we're asking to modify the resolution to say not to execute the agreement in the back material, but to execute an agreement with substantially similar terms and conditions. So with that modification to the resolution, I'm requesting your approval.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, I need a motion to adopt that resolution as described by Mr. Uren.
Move item 1H2.
Okay, I have a motion by Commissioner Burke. Second by Commissioner Mayor McKinley. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously. Item six, Mayor Petrolio. Did you have any further comments?
No, and I'm going to withdraw my removing. I did realize that that was something that was taken care of quite a while ago. Lots have happened in between. I didn't realize. Okay. I'd like to just. Yep. Motion to approve.
Okay. I have a motion by Mayor Petrolio.
Second
by Commissioner Berger on item six. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Comments by and a consent agenda has been approved with all items. Okay, any general public comments? And I would just give you a preview of our new headquarters, wherever it might be, and I think we'll talk about that in a minute. And I think the public is going to be a lot closer to the board, for good or bad. Any member of the public wish to address the board? None at the moment. Okay. We are on to our action items. 2A, motion to adopt a resolution authorizing execution of four interlocal agreements for administrative services to allow the TPA to operate as an independent agency. We have, as we've discussed in the past, Nick, I don't know if you wanted to go into this, but we have reached agreement with four cities, each to provide $300,000 on a five-year, I guess, not rotating basis, but a five-year fixed basis. We will be paying them an administrative fee of $6,000 per year each on the $300,000 advance. Any further comments on
that? I do want to make sure that the full board understands two points. One is we need this because the TPA is funded through federal grants on a reimbursement basis. As opposed to the agency, we're able to spend county dollars and then reimburse the county when those grant checks are received. When we transition to an independent agency, we still need to spend someone's local dollar first in order to receive those reimbursement funds. So that's why these agreements are necessary. And the idea here is that we are distributing the burden of sort of short-term funding for the agency among four different entities with this action item. The second item I want to make sure the full board understands is that we will not begin using these funds until we move to an independent office space and begin to fully operate as an independent agency. So while we're asking you to execute these agreements today, we won't begin spending these dollars and replenishing them until we transition out of the host arrangement from Palm Beach County into an independent office space. Just wanted to make sure that timing was understood.
Move to adopt the resolution 2A.
Second.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Burdick, second by Mayor Petrolio. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously. 2B, motion to adopt Amendment 1 for fiscal year 2019-23 Transportation Improvement Program to include FDOT's fiscal year 18 roll forward projects. And Nick will introduce Andrew Mueller. Our new deputy director of program
development. He's here.
Oh, it's
here.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead.
Morning, Lon. So this is the formal amendment that we have every year, which is the FDOT roll forward projects. So this is a long list of line item projects that were programmed within the fiscal year 18 for our last version of transportation improvement program. But since then, here, and we're not encumbered, so these roll forward formally into the fiscal year 19. And so you can see on the screen, we just have one slide for you, but the full list of products is in your packet. And we're showing the ones with the difference between our current fiscal year 19 and then how much we need to roll forward, and then once above $500,000 difference. If you look at the entire package, you'll see good amount of projects, some of the projects even being just $2,000. Most of these projects are ones where they may have been completed as constructed, but they're still in the FDOT system where the project manager has to close those out, so there's still funds in there that can be closed out. But some of the ones I just want to mention, actually just one on this page, important thing that you'll see that's bigger is the $16.5 million for Comtran, 5307 funds. So those are our formal funds that are given every year, and it's roughly $16.5 million. And those go towards bus and bus facilities, so mostly maintenance funds. But the reason that that number is so high, that's that full amount, $16.5 million that they were programmed in fiscal year 18. And many training agencies throughout the nation operate this way, where they're still spending money from previous years of grants. So that's why we'll see a rollover of that money. But really, that's about it for what happens with that money.
Okay. Any discussion questions for Mr. Yule? Seeing none, need a motion.
Second
by Mayor Petroli. All in favor of item 2B?
Aye.
So just as clarification, there are several items on this agenda that are either modifying our adopted funding program, the TIP, for the next 5 years, and there's one item that will seek to modify our adopted long-range funding program, our long-range transportation plan. By Florida statute, those votes have to be roll call votes. So we call that to the convenience for the area meeting any other votes that way.
And the next item as well is a roll call vote. So if I get ahead of myself, please stop. Okay, so the clerk call
roll. Here's a quick question, because this is on the next two items as well. The discussion where we're adding express lines to the turnpike. I want to make sure that the board, has an opportunity to know exactly where that extra money is going for having those express lanes. Is it going to be staying in Palm Beach County, or is it going back to Tallahassee? Because one thing that we know is it's just a turnpike, the money's going to Tallahassee, but is that extra money being collected on the turnpike going to be staying here or partial staying in Palm Beach County?
Okay, and that'll be discussed under that item.
Okay.
All right. A roll call on item 2B.
Stephen Abrams?
Here.
Yes.
Joan Berkman?
Yes.
Paulette Burdick?
Yes.
Joel Morris?
Yes.
Michael Napoli?
Yes.
Stephen Grant?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jim Bresci?
Yes.
Maria
Maria? Yes. Melissa McKinney? Yes. Shelly Petrolia? Yes. Brad Pinto? Yes. Annie Thompson? Yes. Paul Ryan? Yes. Scott Singer? Yes. Annie Morrison? Yes. Tom Alshay? Yes. Catherine Waldron? Yes. Steve Wilson?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We're on to item 2C.
So the second one is a bridge replacement project for US 1 over Urban Bridge, over Urban River. And this one might be one that you all have heard about in the news last year, in 2017. This bridge experienced a partial collapse on the south side of it, the retaining wall and then the sidewalk. So this is a project brought forward from MassDOT to do a full bridge replacement. And you can see the total cost there of $8.1 million programmed, and then the design starting out here in fiscal year 19, and then construction expected in the outer years around fiscal year 23 and fiscal year 24. And then we'll also be working, just want to point out that the staff will be working with the city and also have gone on the typical section of this area to ensure that we incorporate all types of notes. And here you can see the project location just north of Charles Lake Boulevard.
Okay, and that is US 1.
Correct.
Right. Okay. And unfortunately, we don't have any representatives from North Palm Beach here, but I know that's created some issue within their jurisdiction. But thank you. Any discussion, comments? None? Okay. Need a motion on item 2C.
Second.
Motion by Mayor Marino, second by Mayor Petrolia. Roll call for this, please.
Mayor Marino? Stephen Abrams.
Yes.
Joni Richter.
Yes.
Paulette Burdick.
Yes.
Joel Torres.
Yes.
Michael Napolitano.
Yes.
Stephen Grant.
Yes.
Keith James.
Yes.
Jeff Barrowski.
Yes.
Maria Moreno.
Yes.
Melissa McKinley.
Yes.
Shelley Capoli.
Yes.
Fred Pinto.
Yes.
Andy Thompson.
Yes.
Paul Ryan.
Yes.
Scott Singer.
Yes.
Andy Morrison.
Yes.
Kyle Alashay.
Yes.
Catherine Waldron.
Yes.
Steve Wilson.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, on to 2D, a resolution approving amendment number 8 to include the following modifications. I won't read all of them, but Victoria Williams and Andrew Velasquez, the largest term of the conference, will come up in the process of this. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I'm here to introduce one of our leading traffic engineers, Andrew Velasquez. He is responding to some inquiries from the CAP, and we put together a very comprehensive presentation about our request today to make amendments to your long-range plan. And this is Andrew Glasgow.
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
So we're going to talk to you today about some of the things we have going on Florida's Turnpike with our current project status, as well as what we're proposing to change. For the board is the amendment to the long-range transportation plan to address our needs and our system. And then talk a little bit about express lanes, as you will. I'm Andrew Velasquez. I manage the planning and traffic engineering group for the Forest Turnpike, but I'm also a resident of Palm Beach County, living in North Palm Beach County in the guards, and travel turnpike every day. So I'm keen to see what's going on in Palm Beach County. And as a traffic engineer, trying to fix what's going on in Palm Beach County, sometimes it's frustrating because you want to see happen, but sometimes it just can't happen fast enough. So a little bit about the turnpike. As you know we have span the region here, 45 miles of turnpike in Palm Beach County, 10 interchanges. Interesting enough, the way we collect toll in Palm Beach County are different. We have a total southern point system, and then north portion is what we call the ticket system. Where you collect tolls in the southern point, stopping at the booth, paying your quarter, or whatever it is, driving through some fast lanes. And on a northern portion, it's, you have the entry and exit where you previously would have had a ticket. Now with more electronic tolling, which is part of kind of what we're going to talk about next. What we have in the current 5 year, what we're doing now is there's two projects. One of them is converting that ticket system to all electronic tolling. So what that means is those ramp pauses, the entries that you see now, basically from Lantana North, will go away. We're going to be putting a mainline, all electronic toll entries in between the interchanges. So what that means is that it clears up all of the issues that you see trying to go through the interchanges. Imagine trying to get off at Okeechobee Boulevard and having to negotiate your way left and right. That all goes away with this all electronic toll conversion project, which starts this fiscal year. The other project that we're going to start this fiscal year is the widening between Boynton Beach and Lake Worth through that Lantana mainline toll plaza from 4 to 6 lanes. And many of you might be aware of it, that's a pretty severe bottleneck for us. And I'll actually get to that in a little bit. We're transitioning from 6 lanes to 4 lanes, as well as having the toll plaza there. So that's going to be under construction this fiscal year. We're going from 4 to 6, but we're setting the footprint up for the 7th and 8th lane to accommodate the future widenings north and south of there. This doesn't come out as clear as the other one does, but essentially what this is what we call a heat map, illustrating the congestion areas as of March of this year in Palm Beach County. Just like what you see on Google, red is bad, green is good. On this graphic, what we're showing here along the y-axis from south to north are the interchanges. Down south is where the Sawgrass Lake Road interchanges, and up to the north end is the Brady Town. On the left side is the southbound direction. On the right side is the northbound direction. So starting in the southbound direction, you go from left to right, morning to afternoon. If I had those pointers, I would show you, but I don't. So in the morning, what we typically see on the turnpike system in the southbound direction, you have some issues around Lake Worth, as you're getting on, and then down near the Place Road interchange. Also in the southbound direction in the afternoon, that stretch between Okeechobee and Lake Worth, that four-lane stretch, it's a pretty severe congestion that some of you may experience. And then down again, near the Place Road interchange in southbound. Northbound, we have issues in Deer Place Road both the morning and the afternoon. You know, recently we did make some improvements to the Glaze Road interchange. We widened the ramps to two lanes, and we've seen a tremendous improvement. I used to see some horrific crashes backing up on the intersection. Now that's all still in the ramp. However, people coming off from the Sawgrass and merging on still creates some congestion issues, but it's certainly a lot better than it used to be. Then again, that, in the afternoon, kind of near the Portland Beach area, that Lantana Plaza going from 4674, up there, kind of in the middle of the wrap there, that's that congestion that we're trying to resolve with this project that's going to be on construction this year. This is another graphic that shows kind of the map of that graphic of crashes in Palm Beach County. This is 2014 and 2017, so kind of a 3-year history. The larger the circle, the more crashes that you see surrounding some of these areas. And just focus on the left, I think if we see, it's kind of hard with the numbers, but most of the crashes that we've seen occur in the Woodbridge area, again, at Lantana, Coke Plaza, and then south, near the Glaze Road interchange. Obviously, very directly correlated to congestion. And it's very clear, when you have congestion, you have crashes. That's the reason why we need light. We've seen a lot of growth in Palm Beach County in recent years. The last time we've seen this much growth was prior to the recession. But we've seen some tremendous growth, more so than what we've seen. Our traffic numbers are higher than they've ever been. Congestion is higher than it's ever been. And our needs are greater than what they have been since the previous LRTP. So starting back in 2005-ish, we did do a project development environmental study to look at why we turn bikes to 8 lanes. Basically from the county line on the southern end to the town on the northern end. That's what we did out in Google. What we're seeing now, south of Boynton Beach Boulevard, is 8-10. And so what you see on this graph here is on the y-axis are your interchanges. On your x-axis is your number of lanes that we need. So from left to right is how you show the lanes. Down near the southern end of Boynton Beach, area in the south of Glaze, so we're showing a need for 10 lanes. That's basically as much as we could possibly fit. We didn't even think we could fit that until just recently with some new developments. But those needs are showing as early as 2020, basically today, in that stretch. And then on the northern portion of Palm Beach County, that portion between Lake Worth and Okeechobee, again, we need it today. Ultimately, you need 8 lanes. What's more important about this 10-lane need is that between Sawgrass and Glaze, that's needed by 23rd. So even by, we're not even going to be done with our widening to 8 before we need 10. Another important factor is that these forecasts don't include the impact of Southwest 10th Street. I don't know if you guys, many of you probably aware of the Southwest 10th Street connection. That's going to deliver more traffic to the Turnpike mainline as people are around and be making that shift. So you know that bar chart will probably show the need for 12 on its portion. So what does that mean in terms of the projects we got going on in Palm Beach County? There's a number of projects that are underway. We're currently going through a major PDD update on the design effort, all the way through, you know, from south to north. Looking at the number of lanes I just previously mentioned, 10 lanes from the county line up to Boynton Beach Boulevard, 8 lanes from Boynton Beach Boulevard up to the northern county line, as well as interchange improvements. Delivery of these projects is currently sitting outside of the 5-year work program. It's in that 2024 plus. But we are looking to advance potentially. The first one will likely be the late work of the Okeechobee from that 4 to 8 time frame. And then we also have in our final plan a PDD study to look at the Hypoluxy Road potential. So with the widening of interchange modifications, this is probably the first of many presentations that the Turnpike is going to do to illustrate these products individually. Some of them we're looking at kind of modifying the ramps above and beyond what we previously looked at. That the column over here on the left, where you see ramp modifications. Those are the interchanges that we're looking at. That are reconfiguring the ramps, providing better operations, being able to accommodate all that future traffic growth. The intersections to the right are where we're looking at, so we're looking at just intersection treatments. So you can see some of these interchanges. We're really, really looking at improving the intersections. Lake Worth, we just recently modified that, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So you know, we're beginning that kind of, it's going to hold steady for the future. With express lanes, express lanes aren't moving forward, not moving to the country. The department and Turnpike feel that that is a really good strategy moving forward to manage future traffic congestion where you really can't add more lanes. And especially in that southern portion, 10 lanes is really pushing it. We didn't think we could do that, but now we can possibly can. But yeah, so we're looking at express lanes as the ultimate solution. So what does that mean in Florida? You know, throughout the state here, you're seeing express lanes either open to traffic, down construction, and planning and design. South Florida, 595, I-75, and I-95 are all open to traffic. In West Florida, the Turnpike is actually open, an express lane corridor in Tampa. I have to slide on that a little bit. So why express lanes? It's just like any other TSMNO operational improvement, just one of the tools in the toolbox, like air metering, integrated border management, partial running. The Turnpike feels and the department feels express lanes is one of those really good tools you can do. Gives people a choice. If you are needing to get to the airport, if you're in a hurry, you gotta get to your daycare or whatnot, you can choose to use express lanes or you can just stay in the general lanes. Provides that ability to manage congestion because it's pricing that single lane, and it provides an envelope of transit. On I-95, we've seen a lot of growth in transit. I think the first year was 300% increase in transit ridership on 95 express. That being said, in Palm Beach County alone, when we started looking at express lanes a few years ago, back in the 2012-2014 era, we did survey the state. We sent out a bunch of surveys to get attitude statements about what they feel about express lanes with focus groups. And what we learned from the people that responded in Palm Beach County was there was strong favoritism towards express lanes. And roughly 60% approval of express lanes, whether it means that they feel it's good for managing congestion on the turnpike, whether they're motivated to show a goal if they're not being slowed by travel conditions, whether it means that they have a reliable trip. And that they're guaranteed that reliability. So strong favorability a few years ago. However, there has been some recent concerns with express lanes and some new legislation. And even last year we went to the TAC, there was lots of questions about express lanes, social equity issues, why do you need them in certain areas? So with that being said, since last year there's been some new legislation, new policy, new way we're gonna deliver express lanes. That are very customer-friendly, one, transit options. The new policy now in the Florida statutes is that on the interstate system, there will be no toll at all for buses, BRT, and the express lanes. On the turnpike system, no additional toll. They'll pay as they get on and off like other people do, but when you're in express lanes yourself, transit, registered transit, buses, carpools, van pools, over-the-road buses, transit buses, which pay the general toll amount. Second, big concern that was made, particularly on I-95, because that's kind of really the one that's caused this, is you're traveling express lanes on I-95 and you get stuck. And the guys in the general lanes are going faster than you. They're like, why did I pay this 10-50 toll? Right? And you're calling some of the security set. So new legislation is that if you are in that condition and you're traveling at speeds below 40 miles an hour in the express lane, you will not pay that high toll amount. It'll defer back to a minimum toll. The signs will still say the higher toll amount, but there'll be a back office adjustment to give you that credit back if you're slowed down. That's basically LOS type condition in the express lanes. That applies to the turnpike and it applies to I-95 or all the interstate express lane systems in Florida. Specifically for the turnpike, so one of the concerns that we've heard is I'm already paying a toll, why am I paying additional toll? And we just keep saying, it's really about managing congestion. So what we've done is for us actually change the way that the turnpike pricing structure will be. If there's no express lanes, it's going to be exactly the same price as everybody else. So for most parts of the day, no additional toll. Now, when congestion builds, because you're trying to manage that lane, We'll start to increase the price of that express lane at level service A, no additional toll. Level service B and the express lanes, quarter increment. And then level service C and above is when our dynamic rates will start kicking in. So for example, on the Veterans Expressway, this is a facility that we recently opened, kind of in phases, starting from December of 2017 to our most recent segment being in May of this year. It's a single express lane, not two, like what we're proposing in Southern Palm County. On the graph on the bottom there is what the level service thresholds are throughout the morning period. For the most part, level service A, for all hours of the day, except between 6 and 10 a.m. on this particular facility, for an hour on each side of that peak is a level service B, level service C, 1 hour each, and then we do hit that peak. Now, mind you, this is a single express lane. This is also a very badly commuted facility. In fact, we're filling that express lane. So that even shows that people on the turnpike really want to use the express lane. Now, dynamic tolling has not kicked in on this yet, so right now it's still free, same as general toll. But that will be the price should we exclude the dynamic tolls. So for the turnpike, the construction projects we're experiencing now on the Miami-Dade County, what we recently experienced in the Tampa area, and then some of the concerns that we heard was that, well, how are we going to phase these express lanes? Because some of these are really short, so should we open them just one little piece, or should we kind of wait until you get more construction projects? As you see in Palm Beach County, we've got several construction projects here. So what we're proposing to do is phase implement express lanes in Palm Beach County. We're based on type of project length, how many segments are going to open, what do you have an express lane direct connects, and what the level of service would be if you opened everything up to general capacity. So looking at basically the two parts of Palm Beach County, the southern portion and the northern portion, that southern corridor, when we kind of run through that evaluation matrix, basically what we're seeing is that's six projects when we stream those together, including the ones in Broward County. It does include that the system connection at Sawgrass South and 10th Street. And we were shown that even if we widened the levels to the 10 lanes, we would be at level service B, 23rd, right when we opened. So we are seeing a need to have express lanes there after we finish the construction. So, you know, what we're going to do here is all these projects are going to open. Some of them are going to be earlier than others. They'll be open to general capacity. We'll have a footprint for express lanes, but when everything's all said and done in the southern border portion of Palm Beach County, we'll implement the express lanes. We'll put the express lane markers, and we'll have the signs set up. In northern Palm Beach County, because those beams are delayed considerably, and even on the northern portion, we weren't even showing the main lane, we're going to be following this matrix. We won't deliver express lanes until it's needed, until the corridor reaches level service B, which is way out, 2045, 2023. So what does that mean for Palm Beach County? Is that we're not looking at, we want to accommodate express lanes in northern Palm Beach County, have a footprint there, you know, have an extra pavement there, but not deliver for quite some time. So at the end of the day, really we want to focus on southern Palm Beach County, that stretch between Boyd Beach and Broward County. And if you look at this kind of network, it's particularly with Sawgrass, Southwest 10th Street, Sawgrass moving forward, Southwest 10th, you've got that system, that network connectivity. We're looking at direct access ramps at the Sawgrass interchange to provide that seamless flow. Right now, we're looking at if you're traveling south in Palm Beach County on the main line, you'd be able to have direct connects to the express lanes to the Sawgrass. So a lot of that's going to be occurring. And what we're showing here is your kind of access points. What's different between turnpike and 995 are interchanges more spread apart. So typically you'd like to kind of bypass these interchanges when they're really close, but because you've got 4 and 6 miles between interchanges, just about every interchange will be served. They still provide that longer trip ability, but you know, you'll have access to Point Beach, you'll have access at Atlantic Delray, and that's so in summary, you know, we are showing the need to widen, and that's what all the LRCP amendments are for. We'd like to get the 10 lanes south of the Point Beach Boulevard, the 8 lanes north of Palm Beach Boulevard, consistent with the LRCP, our community study. And then we'd like to phase implement express lanes closely in the southern portion of Palm Beach. With that said, I'll go ahead and open this up for questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wasserman. Question?
Yes.
Mayor Grant?
Well, one of the things is for Nick, I saw that there was dissenting votes by the TAC.
I'm sorry. There was some dissenting votes by the TAC. I wanted to know if you could explain what there were reasons for dissenting or.
Sure. I think the primary dissension on the TAC was the desire for us to move away from spending more money to widen highways. And then as a follow-up, they said, could we, if we actually agree to this project and it gets constructed, could we ensure that the toll revenues collected can be reinvested not just in additional highway miles, but in alternate modes of transportation, either bicycle facilities, pedestrian facilities, transit capital purposes, or even subsidizing operating costs of transit service. I did want to mention that request is included in the proposed resolution in your backup material. So what we're asking you to do as in response to this request for amendment is to approve the amendment with a request that FDOT accommodate a number of additional items, including consideration of the flexible use of excess toll revenues to construct and operate alternate forms of transportation, including transit service, bike facilities, and pedestrian facilities.
And are they, by statute, allowed to do that?
No.
So same as the ability for the discussion. Not to hold that. But, okay.
So,
okay.
Well, that's just one of a few. You know, for example, the turnpike is only some mass, and so are they, when you're expanding them, are you also expanding all high-speed tolls as well for all the facilities in Southern Palm Beach County?
So in the portion of Palm Beach County from Lantana North,
yeah,
that all electronic tolling version, it's going to be all with all hands, so there's going to be no cash loose anymore. And then south, that project's already under construction. So you're going to see all electronic tolling in Palm Beach County in the future.
And the reason why you're asking for all of this now is that it's not going to be implemented all at once, in the sense is that the first stage is to get the six lanes from Boyd Beach up to Lake Worth, not managed lanes, but having it put into the future that, if need be, that they can have the express lanes. You know, when is the FDOT going to do the second study to make sure that it is needed? Or, you know, are they going to plan on doing the second study before it gets completed, or are they planning on just doing it because they said it was going to do?
Right, so as I showed you in the presentation, we have the need to wire. I mean, that's very clear. We've already done the studies.
Yeah.
And so the studies have been completed to show that need as far as the implementation of express lanes. Again, it's in the northern Palm Beach County, no express lanes. That's going to be well deferred out to the border, which is also D, which we expect to be 2045-ish. The southern portion of Palm Beach County, the way we're going to deliver express lanes is after widening it all up, and that could be quite some time, it could be 2030, whatever. Then we'd be looking to implement express lanes at that point in time, probably the 2030 timeframe, because if we did not, we were ready to be at level service D.
And you said you guys have done a study for the express lanes through Palm Beach County. When was that survey conducted?
2013-ish.
Okay. Do you plan on conducting another one?
In Palm Beach County specifically, what we're doing statewide is doing kind of a before and after survey of our express lanes in Florida. We did one and over in the Tampa area before. And then we're going to be doing the after we got a price. By the way, Tampa is very clear. Yes, we'll be doing more kind of customer research.
Okay. Councilmember Bratsky.
I'm a privilege in that area of having a choice because I have five and turnpike is almost side by side. And so it is, in fact, a choice decision. One is free and one I pay. So effectively, I've always considered the turnpike kind of as paid express program. I'm keenly interested when you talk about surveying customers, because if you survey customers, depending on how you ask the question, first choice they might is, build a lane before you start targeting me. And while I was in, I was grateful to see that at least the presentation says that the extra express lane charge wasn't going to be enacted until there was a capacity issue. And while I appreciate that, forgive me for a bit of skepticism, knowing that we're considering a government ordinance, that this could change next year and all of a sudden you're collecting more money from express lanes. So what assurance do I have? I don't even know if we have any say, but I'm just curious. I want to walk away from here telling my constituents that not to worry, in the North End we're not going to be paying any premium fee then until 2040, and then that changes. So is that going to be made or what?
I mean, the commitment is major to convey to here. Right. I mean, if we want to have some sort of more resolution to formalize that commitment, that's fine. But that's the current approach we're taking at this point.
Okay, but that's a lot of people ask, I think on all of us, because it's one thing about this establishment and the lower capacity. But before then, I prefer that we have a commitment, a strong commitment, and it's not going to be started sooner.
Okay.
Commissioner Burke.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, does this in item 2D, there's $2 billion being allocated. Does this include some sound walls throughout Palm Beach County?
Yes, sound walls will be a part of the widening project, definitely. Through the community process, we've identified the need for sound walls in many of the areas. That's also going to continue through this kind of design as well.
Can you provide where those sound walls are going?
What we can do is provide the results. We provide what was provided in the previous CAD studies for those locations were identified. And knowing that there will be a reevaluation occurring, more information will come out of that. But yes, we provide what we know as it has an effort.
And are you doing that through modeling or through actual on-site evaluation?
Through the meeting process and even the design, there is a noise study where they collect how much noise is being produced now, and there's some modeling and stuff like that to determine where you could, what noise walls would be beneficial. Yes.
And then one follow-up. I didn't hear what you said completely about the buses, the private buses and the school buses. Would you go over that again? I don't need to see
the okay. Oh, sure. The new legislation is that on the interstate system, that registered buses will not pay any toll to use the express lanes on the interstate. And then on the turnpike, they won't pay any toll to use additional toll to use the express lanes on the turnpike. However, it's the same general toll amount that they use to get on the system.
Okay, but they won't have to pay that premium if they go in those express lanes. Okay,
right. And that's the core session.
I got one more question.
Commissioner Ryan.
I just had a question as to whether or not this toll system is ultimately connected to other states' toll systems. As you go through the airport, you go from one state to the other toll systems, and after we ever have to get to that.
You mean interoperability with the Sun Pass?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, so we do have interoperability with North Carolina. There's a goal nationally to have everybody in our pool. I think that's a long term vision. Nothing near term, but that's
right. Okay, Mayor Patrol.
Yes, thank you so much for the presentation and also for the slides because it really made it a lot simpler to understand. I have just a couple of questions about the process of how you're going to be doing this. It seems like we're going from Lake Worth as a kind of an initial onset from the dates in here, and then down south and up. So in other words, kind of leaving that corridor in Del Rey kind of open and vacant until the 2030 date. So I'm just curious as to why it isn't a moving in just one direction. Why is it here, then here, and then in the middle?
Right. So kind of what I was getting at early on, where we're seeing that the rate Z, the rate suggestion, is around that Lake Worth area, that 4-lane stretch. So what we do is we prioritize based on where you have most crashes, most congestion, and that's why we want to start at kind of Point Beach or that Lantana. We do the 4-lane portion first, then come back and start from Blades and get you back up to that lane. That's kind of the, we want to address where we kind of need it first, and that's what we do.
I just figured, I mean, when I was looking at it, it seemed like when you look at the crashes, they're about equal, you know, going south from certain areas, and Delray being one of those areas that has a nice big bubble, and just seems like we're, but I understand. Thank you.
Okay, Frank.
And so the simplifications of math, it's, you know, it's about 50,000 feet in a mile, there's about 20 feet in two lanes, and then there's about 20 miles. So you're at about 20 million square feet of asphalt or cement to the environment. And I want to know, what is that about doing to counteract all of that extra taking away of green space or swales, the stormwater? What is the environmental effect that FDOT is putting into this plan?
I can't speak solely for some of the greater environmental stuff, other than that, you know, we're doing this mostly within the right-of-way.
Yeah.
The green space that's within the turnpike right-of-way will be paid, but we're also accommodating that additional purpose area through drainage, and that drainage is going to be treated, for the most part, starting within the turnpike right-of-way and kind of spilling over kind of outside of that. But I'm not an environmental guy, I'm a planner, I'm just an engineer, so I can't really answer, you know,
everything. So currently there's no plan for the offsetting of all of the asphalt?
All the widening that occurs, there's drainage studies that go on to determine where that water goes. That's part of the widening process. So, you know, that will be accommodated. And that's part of our problem.
So, is it possible to get an answer regarding the environmental, you know, counterbalance of taking away from these square feet of scratch?
Yeah, we can take that
out. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Maria.
Excuse me. Okay, so I'm looking at, can you hear me?
Sure.
I'm looking at this and I'm looking at construction versus completion, and I'm looking at 33 miles of roadway being under construction in Palm Beach County. That's kind of scary thought. And what is your guess as to how long it is going to take to complete this? I know it says construction starting in 2030, 2025, 2019. What is completion?
Right. Construction schedules have been determined. But typically, what we've seen, a 4 to 5 year construction duration for each project. And some of these projects will be going on in the same year. Some of them will be staggered by a year or so. So that's kind of the best information I can give you. And this will be a little painful. We had to do it on I-95. It took a while. Hopefully it doesn't take 10 years like it took on I-95. But I think we want to get this out as soon as possible. Part of it is to make sure we get past the number of points.
So if it takes 10 years and people decide they'll want to travel on the turnpike because they don't want to be in this congestion, and then 10 years later they say, oh, I'm so used to driving on 95, why do I have to be on the turnpike? What's the impact of that? And they might be driving for 10 years.
I think what we're doing now is, I think it's kind of clarify some of that. That's actually some new design standards that that's state that in a construction zone, you now have to provide a 10-foot shoulder. That's it. That is not having your shoulders and you're like constrained like that, people don't like that feeling. So with the current design, not having to provide one of those lanes that you can keep that big. So I think with that, the impact of having that construction will be minimized. And you're still gonna have the same lanes, but people are still gonna wanna use it.
And is construction gonna be day and night?
Yes, please. We won't. Turnpike policy for closing lanes is that during the middle of the day, cannot close any lanes in these urban areas. So all lanes that are there will be there during the day. And at night, you can have some overnight.
Thank you.
Okay,
Councilmember
Berger.
Thank you. I just wanted to follow up to Councilmember
Berger's
question. Is the mayor's comment about drainage in the hidden area. So you said that because I know you had said at one point in time there's just enough room. So when you said spilling over, can you keep us in the loop during your PDD studies? Are you going to have to take property from someone in those areas in order to provide sufficient drainage? Are you going to be looking at homeowners associations to use their internal drainage? If you just kind of keep us in the loop.
We will. As those individual projects move forward, you know, all the presenters, all the details will be presented each project individually.
Okay. Mayor McKinney.
I guess my response to comment that why would people travel west to the turnpike when they use 95? And I'll thank you for these efforts because there are actually people that live west of 95 and actually live west of the turnpike that have to use that road instead of traveling all the way east to get to the turnpike. So thank you for these projects. From my experience, I've seen most congestion right between Southern Boulevard and Beeline and North.
Thank you, Mr. Gosper. Again, thank you for answering those questions. Any further discussion questions? Okay, Mayor Brown.
So, you know, my interpretation of this is that, you know, we're already programmed for the 6 lanes and 8 lanes, and now we're adding the additional 2 lanes for the managed lanes that could come up in 10 plus years. To plan for that, and now I understand that DOT needs to do that because the money needs to be allocated for that. You know, the situation, like I said, is that the 5 years ago, Palm Beach County was a very different place than it is right now. You know, where, you know, the number that I hear is that 1,000 people are coming to Florida every day and are using these interstate modes of transportation, as we saw with Hurricane Irma last year, how long everything got and everybody tried to leave at the same time. That being said, you know, currently it's not allowed by statute for the money to go, any fees from tolls to go to use, except for building more highways. And, you know, currently we don't know the offsetting of all the additional concrete, because, you know, if we're at 450 acres of concrete for just 20 miles, what is that doing for the other 20 miles when we plan for the future? We all know that there's a lot of construction going on, and so I'm not okay with approving, you know, this long range of managed lanes just yet, because I feel, you know, let's see what it's going to be in 5 years to determine it, because as of right now, we're planning for the adult future in the sense that we don't know what's going to happen when we go to 8 lanes and both go to West Palm Valley Beach, or 6 lanes from Woodland Beach to Lakeport. So that's why I'm going to be dissenting.
Thank you. I share Mayor Grant's comments. I want to thank you, Mr. Velasquez, for coming here. But we're going from an $800 million budget now to a $2 billion budget. And I think I can only speak for myself, looking at alternative ways of moving people. And that's what I would really like long-range planning to have more of. But thank you for coming and providing this presentation. I will be supporting.
Okay. Any further comment? Okay. I need a motion to adopt this resolution.
So moved.
A motion by Mayor Moreno, second by Mayor McKinley. And the roll call necessary. Comment from Mayor McKinley.
Just one more comment.
You
know, we talked about, you know, setting up a town on Southern Boulevard between 95 and US 27. We had an unfortunate response.
A motion by Mayor Moreno. Moreno, second by Mayor McKinley. We do need a roll call on this.
Stephen Abrams?
Yes.
Joni Berkman?
Yes.
Paulette Burdick?
No.
Joel Flores?
Yes.
Michael Napoleon?
Yes.
Stephen Grant?
No.
Lynn Hubbard?
Yes.
Keith James?
Yes.
Jim Carassi?
Yes.
Maria Moreno?
Yes.
Melissa McKinley?
Yes.
Shelley Petrolia?
Yes.
Brad Pinto?
No.
Andy Thompson?
Yes.
Paula Ryan?
Yes.
Scott Singer?
Yes.
Andy Amoroso?
Yes.
Kyle Alashay?
Yes.
Catherine Walter?
No.
Steve Wilson?
Yes.
It passed.
Okay, thank you. And I'm sure it's sixteen four. Item P is companion to the item just passed, so there's no further presentation on this. However, I do need a roll call vote on the motion in a second, please.
I'll make the motion.
Second. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion by Maria, second by Petrolia.
Quick question.
Does this need a roll call as well? Yes. Commissioner Baines.
Thank you. Nick, I noticed that the vote of TAC is not unanimous. Do you know what their concerns were, that those who objected to the resolution?
Yeah, Mayor Grant had asked about that previously. And the answer is they were concerned first with some of the same concerns that were expressed by the governing board, that the cost is increasing substantially and that we're only providing additional asphalt to move cars. The second concern, and so if that's the primary concern, then the only answer to that concern is don't build a project, find something else to build. The second concern was, will the toll revenue generated by these express lanes be available to invest in pedestrian facilities, bicycle facilities, and additional transit services? And so the resolution that is presented to you asks for consideration of that. That's not consistent with today's statute regulating the use of toll revenues collected by the turnpike, but we're asking for a change. We're saying, in response to this amendment, let's make these revenues available for other purposes.
Thank you.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Stephen Abrams?
Yes.
Joni Berkman?
Yes.
Paulette Burdick?
No.
Joel Flores?
Yes.
Michael Napoleon?
Yes.
Stephen Grant?
No.
Lynn Hubbard?
Yes.
Keith James?
Yes.
Jim Carassi?
Yes.
Maria Moreno?
Yes.
Melissa McKinley?
Yes.
Shelley Petrolia?
Yes.
Brad Pinto?
No.
Andy Thompson?
Yes.
Paula Ryan?
Yes.
Scott Singer?
Yes.
Andy Amoroso?
Yes.
Kyle Alashay?
Yes.
Catherine Walter?
No.
Steve Wilson?
Yes.
And Pat 6.
Okay, thank you. We're on to 2F, motion to adopt the fiscal year 2024 annual storm area projects. Mr. Yule.
Hello again. So this is our list of projects for fiscal year 2024. And this is an important part of the process for developing our next year's transition program on the FDOT support program. Setting the priority, this is a formal acceptance process, so having it all along and adopted into this list really helps FDOT form and us form on our next CIP. Just to reaffirm our mission statement, collaborative plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation systems. So I have the prioritize series as this is part of the process that we're doing. And there's a picture here of one of the projects that was prioritized a few years ago, and then the final implementation and opened an extension of it is an LEO trail that I'm hoping was shown. This picture is in May of 2018. So the timeline for how this all plays out from the fire that's going into the work program that FDOT creates and into our transportation improvement program. So the first step in the process really starts with us receiving local government applications for our local initiatives and transportation alternatives program, the competitive application process. And we vet those with FDOT and prioritize projects that you'll see today. Along with that is also projects from our hospital plan that we prioritize, and that creates the basis for our major projects list. After that is done around March of 2018, we are now, as well as our committees, with this priority list draft. And then after this is submitted and sent to FDOT, they evaluate the available funds for the next 5 years and then have their draft of how those will be programmed. And then they'll come to you all again, as well as our committees, to present the draft and work program in December of 2018. Lastly, we'll finally have our draft, the CIP, and final document next year, May and June of 2019. So the type of projects in our priority list. So these are the funds that we specifically prioritize. These are the ones that are given to our county here, but we have to direct prioritization over. So other projects that Termite just heard, other 95 projects, other FDOT major projects, those are ones that you all have the ability to approve or not approve. But these are the ones that you have directed over where that funding is going. Again, the rehashed categories that we have. Those major projects come from our cost diesel plan, now our TP. That's roughly $40 million a year. And then we have our two competitive application processes, using certain transportation funds, and that's local initiatives, around $20 million a year, and then transportation alternatives around $3 million. And this year, I've had your package for you all to look through, is status report of those three sections. So you can see how those cost diesel products are coming through and making their way into the priority list and into our CIP, what groups those came about. You can also see their LJP ranking score and their current status, as well as the same one for local initiatives and transportation alternatives. So you can see how they were ranked by staff and committees, and then their current status as you make your way into the priority list. And lastly, we're also including for you, if you haven't in the past, is all applications that we received for our competitive application process in 2018, and I'll be going through those in a few slides as well. So just going to go over these three sections again in more detail. First up is the major projects list. Again, that's from the cost people plan, and roughly a $200 million target for the 5 years to be programmed. Right now, our current CIP from 2019 to 2023, it's a total of about $100 million. But the reason for that is why we're up to around that $200 million is that we still have a lot of outstanding projects with leads that need to be put into our program for construction. So, for example, the ones that we prioritized last year, the US 27 connector, the Okeechobee Boulevard, the lower quarter improvements, and the state with 80 lighting, all the ones that still have construction to be programmed into the TIP. So if you were to sum the entire list of priorities we still need to be programmed, it is $646 million for all of them. Because of that, there's no suggested additions in projects from our possible plan to make the project list for this priority list. However, we do have a split of our US 1 multimodal corridor study projects from the bulk amount of the US 1 corridor, and they're broken down into line items now for the tier 1 projects that came out of plan based on the needs and the feasibility to move forward. And that is a few with land repurposings in Lake Worth, North Palm Beach, and West Palm Beach. And for these to move forward as well, there still needs to be local support of flood resolutions, and then also there needs to be a traffic analysis done to see if it is warranted to be able to and feasible to have these land repurposings. The local initiatives program, the better application process, we had a total of 11 applications for 2018. And I'll be going through those in more detail in the next few slides. Two other line items that didn't go through that application process that we wanted to bring to you all for recommendation is the addition of funds to support our transitioning and independence moving forward next year, and so that's you get planning administrative funds towards that, which use a little bit of service technician funds yearly. And then we have a modification to existing priority projects. Some ones to note are bridge replacements, Sandwood Drive and Newman Boulevard, and then also video detection at Sibon intersection, which has a reduction in the amount of intercepts. Both of these two were county applications a few years ago. It was seen that a few of these were on private property or other easements, and in the program we currently have, there's no right of acquisition. So that's why these were taken off the list. And then lastly, we have a project withdrawn by the City of Delaware Beach for the conversion of six lanes to four lanes about the thing on Bronx Avenue. And here's a list of our applications for 2018. And again, this is an status report that we provide in the package. But I want to go through just the highlights of the ones that we have recommended for you all to include on the priority list and then make their way into the transition improvement program. So the amount of funding is capped at $5 million federal with us, and the rest would be a local match. But as you can see in green, that we have highlights green, is a lot of these projects that are being submitted in local initiatives, even though this program is open to freight improvements and safety improvements, and all types of other roadway improvements, a lot of them are really geared towards complete streets this year. So we had Westgate CRA, or Westgate Ave, added designated bike lanes and wider sidewalks. We have West Palm Beach Parker Ave installing temporary bicycle lanes and lighting street trees. Palm Beach County has a large segment of Lyons Road to install temporary bicycle lanes. And then we also have Boynton Beach with Boynton Beach Boulevard, which would install designated bike lanes and wider sidewalks. And in the second portion here, we have safety improvements with maintaining efficiency with adaptive control systems, Boca Raton. And then we have Delaware Beach with separated bike lanes and six-foot sidewalks. So those are all the ones that we have recommended on for the priority list for local initiatives. Transportation alternatives. This is a program that is geared specifically towards the complete streets. Smaller scale projects are capped at $1 million federally that we provide per project. And we had a total of 8 applications this year for those, and 4 being proposed for inclusion on the priority list. And again, I'm just going to go to modifications of the existing projects we have. City of West Palm Beach had a Cameron Avenue project. And Boulevard, Palm Beach Lake Boulevard. I thought I canceled playing that. And the reason for that is this is an older project that was in the system, but there are a lot of utility issues and other railroad issues, so it was delayed in their ability to get this project implemented. It is moving forward, but it has an entirely local project funded by West Palm Beach. Bella Bay sidewalks. There was approval of some locations because there's already existing sidewalks and okay conditions there. Those portions that have existing sidewalks will still receive ADA improvements, such as ramps, but there would not be any new sidewalks there. And then Anchorage Drive between north and south west one intersections. The village of Palm Beach withdrew, North Palm Beach withdrew this application. So they have other priorities going on now. And then, because of this, around $1 million, as said, this is a capital program, the Anchorage Drive, TPA is requesting another project that we have going to the system from CAPDOT, which is a resurfacing project on Lakewood Road in fiscal year 21. So we are looking to add multimodal improvements on this portion of the roadway from Rawlinson Drive to Palm Beach State College entrance to supplement that to the service, and that would be in place of that Anchorage Drive being taken out of the program. And I'll go through our applications for this one for 2018. And again, we have a lot in green there for the show that are geared towards a lot of complete streets and safety, which are a big part of our priorities as a TPA. West Palm Beach has a trail on Clear Lake, Clear Lake is extending from the current part of the trail all the way around to Ochoa Jets and downtown, and that's a 10-foot shared path. We have a 3 acres application for Dillon Trail, which is right next to the State Park, to construct a 12-foot shared use path right near the school. We have Westgate CRA, which is the second portion of the installing sidewalks and pedestrians to lighting and the neighborhoods. And Holmes County, in the northern part of the county, on A1A Ocean Drive, to install pedestrian crossing fences. And that is it for transit alternatives. And lastly, on the last slide, this is an update on the Sun Trail program. This is the state PEC application process that these projects need to be funded or prioritized by the TPA or the PO for the area. And this one is the US-1 Bridle one that's been in the system for a while on 25th to 46th Street. The project is being deleted because it's still working out a critical section. And FDOT has told them to just reapply with the use of the section moving forward. So that's why this one is being taken out of the priority list. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gilbert. Mayor Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question about one of the major TPA projects, page 1, for anyone following along, it's page 126. It's item number 7A, which was the evaluation of the downtown bypass of complete streets before Federal Highway vote would come. My understanding was this was first discussed in fiscal 2017. It's listed as a TBD, and I just want to make sure that this is one of the items that's going to be discussed by FDOT 21 so that this can be included as normal schedule.
So the answer to that question is somewhat complex because the idea of a bypass includes potential transfer of right-of-way ownership, and FDOT has basically come back to me and said they're not interested in leading that evaluation. They like the road they have and they don't want to change. However, if the city and the TPA want to coordinate on a planning study to figure out the best outcomes for the city in that area, including the county of Dixie Highway and the state of Federal Highway, we can lead that study. So the TDP means we haven't programmed any design funds or construction funds for that project because we haven't first identified what we want to construct. And we need to work collaboratively as an agency with the city to figure that out.
Which I personally would be happy to do. In terms of just the timing here, because this was first brought up last year, I want to make sure we get up. I don't want to push back another year because of FDOT's reluctance. Does the TDD suggest the possibility of it still remaining the place to do that it should be to?
Well, it says we've got to take the next step together. So I think we can reach out to you and try to work that out. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Mayor Patrol.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I have questions about some of the changes that happened just naturally in the city that saw a need and then it starts to morph into something different. And we have, you know, because of the time frame between putting in and an application and the actual time that you're receiving those grant dollars, it's such a great amount of time that things do change. For instance, we lost the funding obviously on Commerce Avenue by choice, not because of the fact that we wouldn't have wanted to do something there, but what was being proposed from the previous administration was more than we felt like was going to, first of all, be accepted by the county. There was real concerns, and that would be shrinking that road down to 4 lanes from 6, and being that it's a vital artery. And then the second, not being able to possibly utilize those funds for something that this board would, I think, support, like wider walking pedestrian lanes and safer bike trails in that same vicinity. So as things change, we kind of sometimes lose the ability to be able to move forward and we're put back into a shuffle of another 5 years before we're actually seeing something, which could then dynamically change again. we're right now reconsidering our trolleys, and we are on the map to actually receive some funding in 2020 for trolleys. So, and trolleys are changing as well. You know, the ones that are out there for the most part are throwing off a lot of exhaust because they're mainly diesel, but we're moving into a time where our constituency is demanding cleaner, safer type vehicles. So my question to you is that I'm looking at that trolley and I'm saying, if we, is there an opportunity to be able to hold on to that but move it into something that's not so much like a trolley, but maybe just, but similar in the ability to move people?
So the short answer to your question is yes.
Okay.
The caveat is that what we're doing here as an agency is prioritizing the use of federal transportation funds. So whatever you would like to do to provide a mass transit service needs to be compliant with federal requirements. It needs to be eligible for federal. So we can work with you on the type of vehicle that the city would like to purchase and then operate. And try to get as much flexibility as the federal regulation will.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you, Mayor Byrne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to go on record, and I want to make sure that I keep up a tracking system with the state. On page 138, for the year 2019, state goal 80. Perhaps I presented to Mr. Johnson this question. What do you mean to that study? Is this the second year, the first year, the third year? I know it's a previous study we've been talking about for a while, but I just want to make sure we're on record. So that's personnel changes. I want to make sure everybody's keeping up with this like I am.
And Mr. Chair, if you actually go back to page 127, if you recall, the state regulated street lighting request is one of our major project priorities. It's actually priority number 11 right now on our priority list. The planning study is funded in fiscal year 20, which means the planning study to determine that lighting can be installed. That was the DOT's response to this board's request to put the street lighting on the corridor. They said they'll fund the planning study. That study can be conducted as early as July of 2019. So state fiscal year operates July 1, 2019 is the beginning of fiscal year 20.
That's encouraging. Thank you. 2019 sounds pleasing. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Moreno?
Well, we're talking a lot about roadways, and I'd like to bring up TriRec. We haven't had that discussion in a while. I know we tabled it a while ago, but can we get a tri-rail update? Or where do we go from here?
Absolutely.
We needed to be more information from Brightline, whether they were running a partner, allow us to do this, allow me to use strong term. We had where the funding is going to come from, because Brightline back then is a different animal than Brightline now. I mean, we're talking a lot of money in there, doesn't seem to be. There doesn't seem to be money anywhere for
I think it, the so. Answer is unfortunate, but on the Miami segment, Miami-Dade segment, efforts are underway to coordinate with Brightline. Tri-Rail as it exists now, Tri-Rail as it might exist as Coastal Link. And as we noted back when we discussed this last time, until that process is complete and we see how the integration works. And a complication of that is a positive train control is being implemented all along the Tri-Rail corridor and getting all participants on the same page of the positive train control is not really difficult, but it's time consuming. So that's the answer. We did have a significant discussion this past Tuesday. We were interviewing some good candidates, some mediocre candidates. We have one of the good candidates here to become executive director of Tri-Rail. And we talked a lot about, you know, funding Tri-Rail itself is an issue these days. And then going beyond that to the Northern Extension and Coastal Link is an issue that the new executive director is going to be very involved in. We talked a lot about TIF funding, TRDs, which you have in your city. We have in downtown Long Beach. And that, because there isn't a large flow of funds purely for rail, we're looking at the things surrounding rail, such as development, which is what Brightline is doing in Miami to, you know, allay some of the problem, allay some of the costs of their system. That seems to be one promising avenue for us to follow in terms of funding this, but it's up in the air. And thank you for asking the question.
Good answer. I'm sure you will. Good answer.
And everything.
Yeah, first, let me comment you on projects 10, 11, and 12. The state of the Okeechobee Boulevard corridor. I had the residents of my colleague from Belgrade on the light plan of the book pass, so we can get that study done sooner rather than later. The U.S. 27 connector is hugely important to that region of counties that will help us expedite the construction of the inland logistics center. With that said, they also appreciate all of the alternative modes of transportation projects that you have in here. But let me express my frustration that 2/3, 8 out of 12 major TPA projects and are residents on the east side of Long Beach County, and out of the top 10, there are only 2 that are west of the turnpike. And if you're watching the road patterns, the road is occurring in the western part of this county, and there's nothing that addresses the road that was constructed in Long Beach Gardens without water coming online. There's nothing in here taking into account the road that we're expecting in the city of Westlake, parts of the western regions. And so I guess the question to you, Nick, would be, what are you doing to plan for that? Because when I look in here as a representative of the western communities, I'm extremely frustrated that there's not more in here to benefit those who is broke.
Mr. Chair,
Sure.
So I want to respond to that in a couple of different ways. One is, we struggle with when exactly to remove an item from the priority list. We try to use the priority list as a reminder that it is an ongoing priorities, a set of priorities for implementation. And the approach that we've typically taken is that we remove projects from the list when construction commences. So that runs the risk of allowing us to forget that they were priorities of this agency for many years and that they're now under construction. That's an introductory statement to say that right now, to support the growth that is both existing and anticipated in the western communities, we have commenced construction on the widening of State Road 80 as a TPA priority project from the Arden entrance to the Forest Hill Boulevard, Crestwood Boulevard intersection. So that widening from 4 lanes to 6 lanes is indeed funded through this agency to accommodate the future growth in that part of Palm Beach County. We have also issued a construction contract for the extension of State Road 7 from Okeechobee to 60th as a widening project from 2 to 4 lanes and for the construction of a new 4-lane road from 60th to North Lake Boulevard. That is an active construction contract that is not occurring at this point in time because of some outstanding questions regarding the permits needed for that project to go forward. But those are two significant projects. I want to say one was $50 million, the other was $60 million. So we're spending $110 million in the western communities right now to accommodate the anticipated growth in that part of Palm Beach County. That being said, I also want to remind the board that these priorities are the priorities to be funded through the resources of the TPA. We do not show county-funded projects or city-funded projects on the priority list. We include those in our TIF. We show that they're going to happen with other dollars, with local dollars, but we don't show them on the TPA's priority list. I mention that because the county is anticipating the expenditure of significant dollars to widen Central Pratt Boulevard as well as North Lake Boulevard. again, to accommodate the anticipated growth in the area that you referenced.
Any further comment on this item? Okay, I need a motion to adopt the fiscal year 20 through 24 annual list of priority projects.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Mayor Byrne, second by Mayor Petrolia. And we don't need a roll call on this, so all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Unanimous. Okay, thank you. All right. Item 2G, the TPA's fiscal year 2019 strategic planning and goal presentations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a reminder, just background, the strategic plan exists to help focus our agency's priorities for the current fiscal year. These are things that we do in addition to the core requirements of the agency. The core requirements are adoption of a 25-year long-range plan, adoption of a 5-year funding program, annual adoption of the list of priority projects, which you just did, and adoption of a 2-year agency budget. What are we going to plan for, and how are we going to use our planning funds, our UPW? Those are our core requirements. The strategic plan says, what do we want to do above and beyond that? We do annually have a strategic plan committee meeting to review how we did the previous year and to propose updates, recommend updates for you. I'm not going to spend any time reviewing the agency's previous year performance of the report card as well as a summary of the meeting discussion or attached to the package. I'm going to just focus on what we're proposing through the committee as updates to the fiscal 19 strategic plan. So again, as a reminder, our board is a collaborative partnership of 21 locally elected officials. Our mission is to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund transportation. In our vision, those four key adjectives, a safe, efficient, connected, multimodal transportation system. That's what we're seeking to achieve together. So how are we doing that? In our fiscal year 19 priorities, we're reorganizing this document consistent with our new TPA branding. We're reordering our goals to focus our attention on the planning work that we're doing, engage the public, plan the system, prioritize funding, implement projects, and we don't actually build anything, we don't operate anything, but we want to ensure that those who do are implementing the projects funded through this agency consistent with our mission and our vision. We collaborate with our partners, and then we administer the agency.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, maybe, does it say on the left side five objectives and just six?
Limit five objectives per goal, six goals, so no more than 30 items in the strategic plan keeps us focused. That's the idea here. So six goals, five objectives per goal, and you'll see on the following slides, we don't ever have more than five.
Steve's mask.
He's on top of it. Okay, engage the public. So our first objective, we want to expand to create new patient collaterals that's appropriate for distribution. There are handouts and giveaways, and we intend to have that for your consideration by the December board meeting. We want to keep providing you our web and social media activity report. We do that on a monthly basis as an administrative item, and we're always available to answer questions on that. We want to increase and clarify how we do outreach events, such as our Safe Street Summit, our Bike to Work Ride, our Walk and Bike to School Day. We are targeting this year 2,000 overall participants in those type of events, and 500 of those participants as respondents who would actually provide us with feedback on how we can do transportation planning, how we can improve our system together. And then as a new item for engaging the public, we want to update our video explaining the role of the TPA. We hope to have that to you by March of 19. On the planning side, we want to continue to do new multimodal corridor studies, but we want to increase our commitment. Currently, it's two studies we want to start each year. Now we're saying, let's start a third study. These are small locations that we would focus attention on, such as the US 1 study in downtown Boca Raton. We want to conduct safe routes to school and walking safety audits. This is a new initiative that we're going to ask our school principals as well as any of our local elected officials and staff. If there's an area, a particular corridor, you'd like our team to walk with you to identify what can be done physically, what can be done operationally to make those safer conditions, then we want to make that service available. This is a new initiative. We think it's going to be a very successful one. Some of our partners in South Florida are already doing this. Item C, we want to clarify, we're going to try to create an interactive one-stop shop for all things related to transportation planning. It's going to be an interactive mapping website, and we'll have it on our agency website in full form, ready to share with you by June 2019. We're continuing to publish our plan implementation report annually with a tip telling you exactly how many of our projects have moved forward and what status they're in. And then another new item, we're proposing the creation of a transit shelter design guide. Now, a lot of our municipalities have already taken it upon themselves to come up with their own customized versions of transit shelters. And we want to create that resource that allows the rest of our municipalities, as well as Palm Beach County, to avail themselves of this. So it's a non-binding document, but it would be an informational resource allowing our cities to understand what's possible, consistent with the ADA requirements, and consistent with Palm Trans expectations for service. So we're excited to provide that over the next year. On the funding prioritization side, we're going to continue to maintain our website of funding opportunities. I hope that all of your city staff, county staff, court staff are familiar with that page on our website. It's just palmbeachtpa.org/funding. Very easy to remember. We're going to clarify our performance measure targets. We want to set performance measure targets based on our values and the impact they have on our financial resources, the cost feasibility of reaching those targets. So if we say we want to get to a vision zero outcome for safety, we need to change the way we're spending money, and we want to show you, at least on a high level, what kind of fiscal impacts those commitments will have on you. We're going to update annually our local initiatives and transportation alternative scoring system to continue to ensure that projects advance the TPA priorities. And then as a new item, we're suggesting as an independent agency, we will be uniquely positioned to submit applications for federal discretionary grants. So as we transition to independence, we can now start to pursue those federal dollars for projects like the Tri-Rail extension to Jupiter, for consolidated rail infrastructure safety improvements, CRISI grants. Those are safety grants available through the Federal Rail Administration. Build grants are federal grants available for federal highway for transportation projects, and then any state or federal smart cities or initiatives like that to try to improve the efficiency of our system. So we're going to say, let's start as an agency submitting one of those each year. On the project implementation side, we're going to continue to review all state, county, and city project designs to ensure that funded projects advance the TPA's priorities, and we typically do around 20 projects per year. We're going to continue to do that. We're also going to continue to publish our annual report card on the status of our TPA performance measures and identifying projects that will get us closer to the targets set by this governing board. And then as a new item, to help ensure that we don't just do this priority project list once a year, we're going to report to you on the status of those TPA priority projects, what's happening with them every 6 months. So we're suggesting a biannual report on the list of TPA priority projects. Collaborating with partners, one of the new items we're suggesting as part of this plan is to create a model complete streets policy for our county and for our cities to consider enacting. We have two municipalities that have already enacted complete streets policies, West Palm Beach and Delray Beach. This governing board has adopted a complete street policy, and what we're going to do is try to customize a version of that for action by local government. We're going to continue working on endorsement of an alternative to the county road impact fee system. We're asking for an additional year to continue that discussion going forward. We are going to be providing an ADA transition plan. I mentioned that earlier in the meeting, and plan training workshop. And then we're going to be conducting in the spring of 2019, we hope to conduct a federal highway lane repurposing workshop to help us talk through some of the technical issues and political obstacles and strategies to overcome them, with considering when you are thinking about going from a road of 6 lanes to a road of 4 lanes in order to free up some space for non-motorized infrastructure, what are the questions you have to answer? How do you answer those? On the administration side, we're going to continue to provide board member training. I want to remind you that the MPOAC Institute happens in the spring, in April and May. And we pay for your attendance at that. We want to continue to encourage you to attend national conferences as well as providing local workshops here. We're going to continue to provide TPA staff with training. IFC is focusing our attention on the transition to a new office and meeting space. Again, we begin operating as a fully independent agency. And then D&D, we're going to continue to provide you with quarterly financial reports, and we're going to continue to report on our progress on these strategic plan initiatives annually. So, Mr. Chair, that summarizes our recommended updates. Again, for the board, these were presented and discussed quite a bit at our strategic plan committee, and these are recommended by the committee for approval by the full board.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Councilor McBride.
Just one item under both sides, collaborating with partners, the second item endorsed alternative to the Remy Camp fee system. Now, we all can put a read different into that, but I understand the desire for something different than what we have, and I kind of support that. I don't support limiting the voting tax system. I just wanted to suggest that whether anything changed up here or not, just to throw it out. Because that's almost, it could be conflicting. It has to be an alternative, which means get rid of it. Then I think conflict is going to continue. And I just wanted to report such as endorsing alternative and more supplement, because it might make more progress dealing with the supplement. The transition on alternatives, right? But because we've seen a reaction like someone tries to touch the traffic impact, the road impact fee system. So this implies, you could read it one way, it's an alternative, but there's still some, I can't support that, so I just wanted to throw it out. But I can read into it, an alternative could be a supplement. So I'm just, again, enough, I just wanted to point that out. This is the one item in here I see is potential conflict among us. We want to avoid conflict and see when we can get the greatest alignment.
So you want to change the language?
Well, suggest it for discussion here.
Mayor Brandt.
Conflict isn't always bad. It's okay to have different opinions and different ideas. For the impact fee, we're still waiting on the county, if I'm not mistaken, to take on their data for each zone. And do we have an update on that might come to the TPA board?
We're hoping to have a consolidated presentation for probably the December TPA government board. And at this time, the county has not shared any of its actual road impact fee payment amount by location, but they are working, actively working to compile maps and data to present to the government board their perspective on the history of the system and how they want to be seen by the government.
So, I understand your comment regarding the doors, and so with research, something to see, if there is a better alternative that we can research the idea. Is that something you'd be agreeable with?
My only point was, and again, you certainly can also address the settlement part, right? If
there's that, I think that would be included in the research aspect.
All right, any further discussion? Okay, I need a motion to approve all the fiscal year 2019 strategic.
Motion with the amended term for research, an alternative to road impact fee system. Seven doors.
Okay, I have a motion with that change noted, and a second by Mayor McKinley. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Clinton Forbes. And Todd, did you want to join me? I know we have Dr. Walken, Mr. Meyer, and Mr. Briggs also on the gym. Very exciting. We're beginning our graduate performance organization program next we can have a little more?
Yes.
Mr.
Chair, members of the TPA, Clinton Ford, Executive Director for Palm Tran. On August 24th, the Board of County Commissioners, I think four of the five board members who actually serve on the TPA are here, approved the final RPM plan after a pretty active public hearing. I want to thank the board members here today again, as well as Chalk and Line, who provide leadership sponsorship and support of the project. So 10 days from now, on September 30th, we will implement a new bus support system. Staff has just distributed our new rock bags, which are living in a trilingual community, and it's pretty diluted because we took great care to make sure that we communicated with our customers in our community in English, Spanish, and Creole. So that's the new route guide that is going to our customers and to all of our cities. We are in now the production and education phase after the public hearing. We are communicating also through audio announcements on the buses as well as on the bus stops. We have signs on approximately 300 bus stops now that will be eliminated. There will be no more service on these bus stops. And while we have done, I think, the yeoman's job of having a community conversation and a pretty robust outreach process, we still don't reach everyone. But now the information is starting to hit. We're communicating on the buses as well as at the bus stops that service will no longer be here. So we are getting some concerns, but also some compliments. From some of the riders. And we are filling those. We ask that you, as a leader of your communities, if you have issues or questions, please forward those to us. I'm asking to be copied on every customer concern. And at this point, they're there now. And where there are concerns, we are taking them very seriously. There will be an adjustment period. We recognize and also present to our board that this is not a perfect plan. After 20 years of really not changing our system, this is really the first take on it. And we're not going to be perfect with it, but we have an opportunity in December and other service changes to make tweaks. And that's what we plan to do. We've already been looking at some things. So the system goes live September 30th, which is actually a Sunday. From Sunday through Wednesday, October 3rd, we're offering fare-free transit for the entire community. So I always tell folks, if you get rigid transit ever in this community, just try jumping on any bus or going to our website and using our trip planner to take a trip free on our system. On September 29th, on Saturday, at 10:30 a.m. at the Intermodal Facility in West Palm Beach, we will have the ribbon cutting ceremony for the RPM officially launching it. And I have gotten some confirmation from some of the commissioners and the community. So if you can, if your schedule allows, please join us on September 29th to officially kick off our route performance maximization project. Just a few notes. We have, as we receive concerns from some of the elected officials in some of the cities, we have gone out and talked to those cities and communities just last week. We were for the last week, but this week, we were just in the city of LA where we provided a presentation of how we are redesigning that system for that community. And I think it was well received by the mayor and the community. In Delray, we have received concerns about the apartment complex that we serve, that we are no longer serving. We talked about options with that community. That was a lively discussion. The mayor, Petrolio, was there as well. And so we committed to work with the community and the city to look at options in the future for the right type of service for that community. So this is not easy. Especially when you're using existing resources. And so we said all along, we manage the expectations of everyone that we are going to maximize, right in the word of our project,
route performance mechanism that you're going to maximize your tax dollars to provide the absolute best transit service for this community. And that comes with tough choices where, you know, yeah, we picked up three or four people along this route, but we're spending $250,000 on that route. Is that the best use of your tax dollars? Most of you will say no. But we also recognize that that was transportation for those folks, and we wanted to minimize the impact to our customers, and we made sure that most of the folks impacted had options. They had alternatives. So that's where we are with the route performance maximization project. Really, we're here to field any questions that you may have, but we are all up on September 3rd.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Forbes. Well done. And we're looking forward to a much improved system. And Clark Howard. Mr. Murray. Mayor Wilson.
Yes. I just got this on the record to thank Mr. Clinton Portis and his staff. They've been out to Belgrade probably four times, to be honest with you. And what started off being real serious concern with some of the folks out there about cutting the rocks off and cutting service came out to be a winning debate. But unfortunately, on Monday night, we had a packed house of teachers, professionals that was there. And I don't know if it was by coincidence you did with your presentation, but afterwards, they were all pleased with the presentation, so I want to thank you and the staff, John.
Thank you. Mayor Petrone.
Yes, thank you also for responding to some needs in one specific area of my community. And I'm a little confused. I know Route 80 is where that used to be serviced. I'm looking at the new Route 88. Did we find a place to pick up those residents that are in the one community of Lake Del Rey Apartments? You know, I think one of the things that I know that you may have as far as figuring out how many people are being picked up and where is to change the RPM. I get that, but when you're talking about an area that has no access really otherwise, and for some of the residents, because it's an elderly community and it's also income-strapped community, a low-income community of people. You know, a few of them have cars, but many do not, and this is their really only ability to be able to get around. So did we find a solution? I'm sorry, I had to leave early. I had a meeting.
And so you did have to leave early. We had a very active discussion with the folks there, and you know, the meeting didn't end, you know, with exactly what they wanted, which was for us to return service there. I will tell you that while that was an RPM adjustment, and it went into the spirit of all of our goals in the RPM, where we have a 40-foot bus that's taking less than half mile turn into an apartment complex in a parking lot with a mix of elderly people and parking cars. Right at the front door of that. That goes beyond our team for me. And as the leader of this organization, safety is first. And so that is unsafe. It's been unsafe for a while. The options that we presented to them, and I think that we were thanked by the property manager as well as the assistant manager. The options that we presented to was the type of service for that area that is being done in other areas similar is paratransit service, and that door-to-door transportation service. And many of the residents there are eligible for the service. We have folks there to actually sign them up. But that service is $3.50 per trip. And so what we did is we understand that there's a financial concern as well. So to get them acclimated to the service, part of our agreement at the meeting there was to waive the fares on paratransit to get them using that service. We also committed to come back and work with the city and Orange County. This would have to be approved by our Board of County Commissioners to see if there is a small circular petition for that community to be looked at in December.
Right. I know it's a specific issue and it's a specific problem for our area, but it definitely is going to impact a tremendously a group of people who have no other alternatives. It's not like they can just call an Uber. They don't have the funding to be able to do that. That's why they've relied so heavily on this transportation system. So thank you very much for any efforts that you make towards helping them out.
You're welcome.
So much.
Councilmember.
We also had one in Palm Springs that was that's being closed that serviced a senior population. So maybe sorry you mentioned those fees being waived, but so we'll get in touch with you on that. But I was wondering if you're going to be tracking in the increase on the paratransit trips that may be associated with some of these routes closing, so we can kind of factor that into, because I know that we subsidize that as well. So I didn't know the impact of our goal, obviously, is to reduce costs and be more efficient, but I didn't know if that was going to have an unanticipated
That's a very good question. And I actually looked at it before I made that offer, because typically I am asking those who are eligible for paratransit to take the bitch route, because it's much more costly to use paratransit services. So it's kind of counter to my goal by offering this, but when I look at the number of trips that traverse the area and the cost of just doing a 7-minute job in the apartment complex, which costs us over $120,000 annually, to pick up two or three people by going into an apartment complex, which is an unsafe movement, the paratransit cost is far less than that if that replaces that service. The paratransit trips that will facilitate those new trips will be far less than that cost. So the service is there for the disabled. And so while we try to encourage when they can use the fixed route, it is there as a comparable service to the fixed route for the disabled.
I'm sure we'll be talking. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. And for everybody, all of our adults with disabilities, riding Palm Tran, the big bus, is free. By providing one community with free service, I'm not quite sure how that, if that's legal to do, but all, if we're going to do it in one community.
Let me clarify, that is it's a demonstration fair. So it's a temporary fair, which we are, by federal law, able to do. And so it is just a temporary fair waiver to allow them to acclimate to the system, similar to what we're doing with the fixed route for the 4 days.
But are you saying that their rates are temporary? Yes, it's only to get them on board to understand how it works, and hopefully we can find another solution going forward, but at this stage that's what they came up with.
This connection coming in and providing services. Are you saying the connection is going to be there temporarily?
Temporary.
Absolutely.
Just the fair. The fair waiver is a temporary fair waiver.
And we're ongoing working on this issue because this is a community for having 3 hours to left. It is a company.
All right, thank you, Mr. Cor- oh, and Maria, sorry.
Thank you for being here in your presentation, Lindsay. Please go over the committee procedure for requests for special needs individuals, because we were hosting some with Greenway Society this week. We hosted their GAC group, their guardian advocacy project, and several of the individuals needed rides on pump, and the instructions that were submitted were not followed. So several of the participants were not able to come up. One of them being Boga, because there was a request submitted with a current address. The driver went to an old address. So how does that information get to you, and how often do you actually update addresses in your system? That was sort of a long-winded question, but do you understand my question?
Yes, I do understand your question. And it is really, we actually update the I forgot the term that folks use, but every 2 years we update our list of pockets and the address. But it's also the responsibility of the customer, if their address changed, to call us. So so that we can update their profile.
Well, on the request, I'm being very specific, but on the request, it was the person's name, their current address, the driver went to their previous address.
Okay, that was just an error that occurred, it was an anomaly, that may happen occasionally, but we have that certain that actually occurred, so. Any specific issue like that you can look into further if you provide a choice?
I will, thank you.
Mayor Brennan? Quick question, the current app that you guys are having, is it MyStop Mobile, is it iGo, is it Transit? What should we be telling the people who want to plan their trips using their smartphone?
MyStop Mobile. You can download that on Apple or Android device. When you're at the stop, if you type in the text portion 321123, and iGo and the stop number, it will give you the next two buses that will show up. So that's two ways you can do it. And we're planning your trip in advance. Go to tomtran.org, and we have Google Transit where you enter your origination and destination, and we'll plan your trip that way.
Okay.
And on page, on one of the pages here, that's something else you can do that.
Okay, we're on to the TPA transition update. We touched already on the administrative services agreement. I would note that we've gotten unanimous buy-in by all of our members in terms of dues, which are 10 cents per capita per year. The county, in fact, just approved that Tuesday. Nick, you can go, I guess, the remaining interesting aspect of this is our office space, so you might want to touch on that as well as whatever.
Yeah, so as an update, Lake Worth and Palm Beach County approved this week, and Beltway is actually on the agenda for the next first week of October. But the commission is 10 cents. 2 points I want to make on the transition update. One is I really appreciate you allowing me to work directly with the steering committee members. That has been fantastic. Again, I like the official perspective on all these items as we go forward. Their service has been remarkable. Their willingness to accommodate our schedule has been really just very, very much appreciative of their service. We are meeting once again October 3rd to review a recommended lease. So I do hope to have, we're finalizing the details of a couple of sites in downtown West Palm Beach. I do hope to have a recommendation for the transition committee on October 3rd. Pending the conclusion of that, we will be making a recommendation to the full governing board for execution of the lease at the October 18th governing board meeting. So we're moving forward.
Okay. I just added, you know, I think we're all going to be pleased with the alternatives that come with in terms of space. Okay. Our general counsel. Paul, did you wish to discuss?
Yes, in your packet, item 3C, there's been questions about whether or not the PPA will submit a request to the Attorney General's office for an opinion regarding the interpretation of Palm Beach County Charter. I don't believe that the Attorney General's office would honor that request, and I think I've set out in great length in the memo why that is. It's just simply something that they used to do and I would find.
Okay. All right. Partner agencies, any of those here who wish to address the board? Seeing none. Would any board member like any of these administrative topics discussed or can we move on to adjournment?
Chair, I can make one brief remark. I just wanted to, while we were still together, to recognize that at the Florida APA conference last week, that Council Member Joni Brinkman was recognized as elected official of the year. So, fantastic distinction.
Okay.
one comment I had is a welcome council Thompson and Mayor Singer to the ZBA graduating from their election.
Let's slide in.
Okay. Seeing no further comments, we're adjourned.
Thanks.